Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying The Road to the Cross, Bible Bits from Mark. In this session, we'll be looking at Mark chapter 15, verses 16 to 39, Jesus' final words. Let's take a read the account of the resurrection in Mark chapter 16 before we get to our text of Jesus' final words. Let's read chapter 16, verses 1 through 7. Now when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, "Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side. And they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him, as he said to you." Listen, the resurrection of Jesus Christ cannot be separated from the crucifixion of our Savior. His resurrection has no meaning apart from the cross. His crucifixion has no hope apart from the resurrection. Let's travel back a couple of days to the crucifixion. And let's look at our text in Mark chapter 15, verses 16 to 39. And then the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole garrison. And they clothed him with purple, and they twisted a crown of thorns, put it on his head, and began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Then they struck him on the head with a reed and spat on him, and bowing the knees, and they worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took the purple off him, put his own clothes on him, and led him out to crucify him. Then they compelled a certain man, Simon, of a Cyrenian, the father of Alexander and Rufus, as he was coming out of the country and passing by, to bear his cross. And they brought him to the place of Golgotha, which is translated place of a skull. Then they gave him wine mingled with myrrh to drink, but he did not take it. And when they crucified him, they divided his garments, casting lots for them to determine what every man should take. And now it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the inscription of his accusation was written above. With him they also crucified two robbers, one on his right and the other on his left. The scripture was fulfilled, which says, "And he was numbered with transgressors." And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, "Ah, you who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." Likewise, the chief priests also, mocking among themselves with the scribes, said, "He saved others. Himself he cannot save. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross that we may see and believe." Even those who were crucified with him reviled him. And now when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which is translated, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Some of those who stood by when they heard that said, "Look, he's calling for Elijah." And then someone ran and filled a sponge full of sour wine, put it on a reed and offered it to him to drink, saying, Let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to take him down. And Jesus cried out with a loud voice and breathed his last. And then the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. So when the centurion who stood opposite him saw that he cried out like this and breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." Truly, this man was the Son of God. Wouldn't it be interesting to know the thoughts of that centurion? Imagine if he wrote a diary of that experience and we could read what caused him to make that statement of faith that Jesus is the Messiah. What would we hear? What was the impression of the events of that day? What was going on in that centurion's heart? I'm thinking it would have been Jesus' final words that made the impact. Incredible words during such intense suffering. He said, "Forgive, forgiveness, because of Jesus." And in Luke chapter 23 and verse 34, then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And they divided his garments and cast lots. Salvation and eternal life by faith in Christ. Luke 23, verses 42 and 43. Then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Affection, revealing the true humanity of the Lord. John chapter 19, verses 26 and 27. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." And then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her to his home. Anguish experienced as Christ paid the penalty for our sins. Matthew 27 and verse 46 reads, "And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?' That is, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?'" Suffering of Jesus as every detail of Scripture was fulfilled. John chapter 19 and verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, said, "I thirst." And then victory that secured our salvation that was won by the Lord. In John chapter 19 and verse 30. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. The power of the law was finally broken by the atonement of his blood. Colossians chapter 2, verses 11 down to verse 15. "In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your trespasses, and with the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting and requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a spectacle of them, triumphing over them." It is finished. And then contentment of having reconciled us to the Father, which was disrupted ever since the Garden of Eden. Luke chapter 23, verse 46. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. Listen, hearing all of that, those final words of Jesus, I'm sure that impacted that centurion. What about you? Because you see, that was only Friday. Sunday was coming when those women arrived at that tomb. Luke chapter 24, the second part of verse 5 to verse 8. The angel said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here, but he's risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. Amen. The road to the cross into resurrection. You have a great day.